Hey everybody, surprise! It's me, Joel. We are coming at you post-finale with a special little bonus. I just wanted to jump on here real quick with a little disclaimer. We got a story about hunting, and if that kind of stuff bothers you, this story's definitely gonna bother you. So, literal trigger warning, I guess you would call this. And when you hear me laughing, that's just my way of coping. You know me by now. You know I'm not a monster. Enjoy!
You better have your pants cinched up good if you're gonna fly by the seat like you normally would. Yeah, the world is tough. Mean, but this'll be the worst day that you've ever seen.
Ian,
Joel,
what am I doing here? The season's over.
No, it's not. Well, yes, it is.
What have you brought me over here for?
It's a little dessert, a little snacky.
Ooh,
it's a little treat.
Like a little bonus app?
A little bonus app.
We're giving the people a bonus app?
A little bonus app. Just to bring in the new year.
They thought it was over.
They thought it was over, but this is like the Marvel movies.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Post-credits.
Stinger, you know?
Yes. Before we get to our special bonus episode,
yes.
I want to do a couple of clarifications for last story.
From my story. Yes.
I conferred with the Bri.
Okay.
And the thing we would yell.
He knew about the storm. The whole time. He knew the storm was coming.
He just didn't want to tell me.
Yeah, he was just like, I got to get to fucking Savannah.
No. When we would throw marshmallows at Hoosiers, we would yell, pucker up, buttercup. So I wasn't wrong there.
But
in addition, we would also yell, flip me a flounder skip.
What does that mean?
Which is a very obscure Family Ties quote. Alex P. Keaton says it to Skippy Handelman.
Skippy?
Yeah. You remember Skippy?
I remember Skippy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flip me a flounder skip. And we just thought, Brian and I had a lot of things we would randomly hear that just struck us as hilarious.
Yeah, I had friends like
everyone
that.
Everyone has that.
Yeah.
Or has a friend where they have that.
Flip me a flounder skip.
And then another thing we would say, he just told me today, which makes perfect sense, is Chili Mo, check this out.
Chili Mo, check this out.
Yeah. Because I don't remember why, but we would say Chili Mo, check it.
You don't know what that was from?
It wasn't. I don't even think it was
you
from
just made
anything.
It, made it. Okay.
Like, I'm going to Chili Mo, check it down to my house. We just like to make up the stupidest shit you could say possible.
I like it. I like that, Joel. I like that a lot.
Like I would always say, instead of call me, it would always be shoot me a breeze on the horn.
Wow, you guys. I don't know if you guys were the coolest kids or the least cool kids I've ever heard of.
Somewhere in the middle.
Probably in the middle.
And you might have noticed in the story I said we slept in a church basement, and then I changed it to library.
Yes, and then I corrected you to
did,
church, yeah.
Which I was glad,
yeah.
However, it was a library.
So I corrected you to the incorrect version.
Yes, yeah. But at least it kept it consistent, but it was a library.
Okay.
I'm sure I screwed some other things up, but... oh, yeah, it didn't snow. It was 1996.
Okay. You just didn't know how to drive. You just kept getting lost.
Yeah.
It wasn't an atlas. It was a Thomas guide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, everything else is pretty on point.
It's a beautiful story. It's one of my favorites.
Thank you. I appreciate it. If you haven't heard it yet, because I know a lot of y'all were on vacation, but you're back to work. You're back to your commute.
Back to this. What do I do? What do I
used to? Your work-a-day life.
Fuck them.
Get back there and listen to that episode, because I know a lot of you missed it.
Cannot recommend that our season finale enough.
Me either.
Yeah.
Our guest was top notch.
Okay. It was a great story too.
But today, we have a little story that's near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
That just didn't find a place in the first season.
Nope.
Until now.
So I believe if I'm remembering this correctly, this is the first story you and I recorded together.
Right, because we were at work.
We were at work.
This is one of our coworkers.
Yes.
Steve Yule.
The Euler.
Ah, the Euler. This is a great coming of age tale.
Yeah, is it?
Well, I like it. It's a great story.
It's a great story. I don't want to believe this was formative in anyone's life.
Let me ask you a question.
Joel, go.
You ever been hunting?
No.
Me neither.
I've been fishing.
Have you ever killed an animal?
Yes.
Besides a fish?
No.
Okay.
And an insect? An insect doesn't count either.
Of course not.
Okay. Then no. Then the answer is no.
I haven't hunted.
You just killed animals. Think about a cat, a dog.
A lot of cats.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you had a little system, refrigerator, you found in the junkyard, close them in, checking on them every 3 weeks.
I killed a mole once on the farm in Missouri.
Okay.
Other than that, no. I remember one time I got me and the bride.
Of course.
Got those, you ever see those air gun pistols they have?
Oh, yeah.
We had to have those.
Of course.
And it shot little darts or pellets.
Yeah, pellets, and then it came with
BBs.
You flip the front of the nozzle up to put the dart in. I had this exact same thing. Yes. And that fucking dart was so goddamn dangerous.
Was it?
What do you mean?
Well, I don't. I never.
It would go into a thick wall, so yes, it would go into someone's eye.
I don't remember shooting the darts at anything, but it was a long time ago. I do remember, though, once me and the Bri were driving around in the bug, and I had it out of the... I was sitting in shotgun, and I had it out of the glove box, and I was, like, cocking it, and I looked over, and there was an old man in the car next to me.
Oh, shit.
And he looked so frightened.
Yes, because you had a weapon. Wow.
But I remember one day after I got it, I was like... I'm going to go outside and see if there's a bird around.
Let me go shoot a bird. Did you shoot a bird?
I went outside. I lived in the suburbs.
Okay, I know. I know.
A subdivision, as we said.
Yes.
Called Lake of the Woods.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good subdivision.
There was
name.
A lake. There were a lot of woods.
Right. Well,
so
sure.
So it was a vibrant wildlife neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
That particular day when I walked out, not an animal in sight.
Really?
Anywhere.
Okay.
And I'm very thankful for that, because if I would have shot something, I know I would have hated myself for it.
You wouldn't have been able to live with it. You wouldn't have been able to live with yourself. Yeah.
So when I listen to this story...
Steve is such a kind-hearted human being.
I think it comes through in his voice.
It does, yeah.
I think it's going to be obvious what a gentleman this Steve Yule is.
For this to happen to him. Poor guy.
I just want to give a quick shout-out to Threeps. Our boy Threeps was in the room when we recorded this.
Threeps was in the room, as was Bridget.
Yes. Shout-out to Bridget and Threeps.
Threeps, maybe future guests.
Hey. How about a shout out to the whole Young Guns posse? You better listen to this.
Yeah, these fuckers better listen. We'll tag them.
Yeah, tag these fuckers. Enjoy the story. Well, at the time we're recording this, Donald Trump is our president, and he just lifted a ban on bringing elephant head trophies into the country, and so I thought it was an apropos time to speak to one of the most avid hunters I know. About a tale of hunting glory. And with that, I give you Steve.
Okay, so this is my hunting story, my one and only hunting experience. So I was like 14, and my twin brother, my dad, and my grandpa would all go to Saskatchewan, Canada. And at this time, you know, I'm in junior high. I'm really loving this idea of going hunting. So my brother and I, we are too young to hunt like without special training. So before we went on the hunting trip, we had to get trained on how to use the guns, and we learned how to shoot skeet and trap, and that was fun. So we were all primed up and ready. I was super excited.
And this is your first hunting trip ever?
First.
Okay.
First time ever.
Did he say that already? Because this is a normal feature of the podcast, is where I ask for questions that were answered. I do this every time. Because I'm too busy thinking about whatever. It doesn't matter why.
So my grandpa, who is a very experienced hunter, he hunted at this place where we were going. So some years ago, he had met this farmer and had gone goose hunting on this guy's property in Saskatchewan. So he had helped arrange this whole thing. So, and my dad, you know, he grew up in Minnesota. He knew how to hunt here somewhere. But my brother, my twin brother and I were total novices, other than, like I said, we had shot some skeet and some trap, and that was fun. So we fly out there. We meet Mike at his farm, and he takes us out into the field. And he's got this pretty awesome drill, this homemade contraption on the back of his pickup truck. And this thing, you turn it on, and it drills into the dirt, and it digs a hole. And that's what you sit in when you're waiting for the geese to fly overhead first thing in the morning, like at dawn, like literally at dawn. That's the plan, is you set out your decoys, you sit in this hole in the ground, and they give you this little wooden cover, and you cover yourself up with that, set out all your decoys, and you have to be a certain distance from the water, like 100 yards or something from the water. And the geese, you just hear them. They will take off from the lake or whatever, and they are making all kinds of noise. So we do all that. We set ourselves up. We're in there. The sun is just starting to come up, and this is the first day of hunting. We're planning to be there for 2 or 3 days. And you can hear the geese coming. And my grandpa says, "Take them!" So I pop out of the hole, and I'm trying to fire my fucking gun, and it won't go off because I've got the safety on. And I'm like, "Ah, fuck, what's wrong with my gun?" And the geese are flying overhead, and people are boom, 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 shooting at the geese. And all of a sudden, my grandpa's like, "Stop, stop, hold your fire, stop, don't shoot." And we're like, "What the fuck?" And I'm like, "God damn, I can't get the fucking safety off my gun." But it's too late. I didn't even get a shot off. And all of a sudden, out of the sky come these two big swans. Drop out of the sky, fall on the ground, and we go check them out. They're just huge. Like, I don't know if you've seen a swan up close. All bloody, both of them dead. And my grandpa is just beside himself because he's the experienced hunter. And you should know the call of a goose compared to the call of a trumpeter swan. So, and these things mate for life. So there's a whole squadron of them above us just circling. Will not fly away because their friends and relatives are dead on the ground. And, yeah, exactly. Eventually, my grandpa says, "I got to go talk to the other hunters up there." And they're about 100 yards away from us were another group of hunters. And I think that's how he knew to stop us, was not because he realized what was happening, but because he could hear them shouting at us. They had recognized the difference in the calls or had seen them because they were further away. And they were the ones screaming at us to stop, and I didn't even hear any of that. But he did, and he's like, "I gotta go talk to the other hunters." And so here we are, and we're like, "What the fuck do we do now? These things are endangered species. They're $1,000 fine a piece, possible jail time." So this is my introduction to hunting. So my grandpa comes back after talking to these other hunters, and he's like, "We're gonna bury them. And we're going to go back to the hotel." And I'm like, "Okay." I'm like thinking to myself, like, if somebody finds out about this, are we going to go to jail? Like, I was really fucking worried not only about that, but just that we'd killed these poor swans that were beautiful animals. Like, you get that close to the thing, and you're like, "Jesus Christ, he's like one of the most beautiful birds I've ever seen." And we just killed them accidentally. So we go back to the hotel. That was it for that day. Literally, first fucking thing of the day. Like, the sun has barely come up. And it's over for a while. So,
the first birds that fly by.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, what? The first fucking flock of something to fly over. And I was so jazzed. I was like, this is going to be so awesome. I'm going to kill myself a goose. I'm going to shoot a bird out of the sky and shit. And this whole thing, I was just like, do we have to come back tomorrow? I don't want to do this anymore. This is wrong. Like, I just hope we don't end up getting caught. I was really worried about going to jail.
How did you bury him? Did you just throw him in the holes? And
that a big hole.
With the machine.
The holes, yeah. Maybe that's
it's like burying a body.
Probably the hole I had been sitting in.
At least you know you didn't shoot it. But
I know that I didn't. And that's the one thing I can say is my safety was on. And as much as I would have loved to have fired my gun, it didn't happen. So
never fired.
Not that day. So like I said, we had a couple more days. So the next day, we go out with Mike, with the farmer. Right? And so now my grandpa can rest easy. He is not the expert. Mike is the fucking expert. I mean, my grandpa is an expert. He should have known better, but he was beside himself. Like, practically in tears over this whole thing. It was horrible for him to have been the guy leading our party, and this fucking thing happened. So the next day, pressure's off. Mike, the farmer, now his gun was a single load, 10-gauge, shotgun, and you may not know what that means, but that means there's like three or four pellets in that fucking shot. There's like very little shot in there, and his is single load. So every time he shoots, he takes one out, puts another one in by hand, and then fires again, right? That's how awesome of a fucking hunter Mike is. He's loading every single shot. Me, I've got a shotgun that's got like five shells in it, so I can boom, boom, boom. Anyway, Mike is the fucking expert on day two. So my grandpa totally relieved now, and we actually have a pretty good day of hunting. No swans get killed. Everybody can pretty much say that they shot a goose. Mike probably killed 10 geese that day. He certainly cleaned up compared to the rest of us. So after a pretty good day of hunting, so the one that I'm pretty sure I shot, you can never be totally sure because you're in a group of people shooting at basically the same group of birds, but I see one going down that I'm like, I think I got that one, you know, and my dad's like, well, go get it, you know, and it's slowly coming down out of the sky. It had been winged, so it's, you know, it didn't just plop out of the sky like the ones Mike shoots. Mine fucking was slowly coming down, and so about 200 yards away, it falls. So I'm like huffing it out there, and I finally catch it, and I finally find it in the tall grass. So there was that. So a whole day of hunting, we go back to Mike's farmhouse. He's got this little, you know, garage area where he has rigged up this defeathering machine. And he told us what it was. It's a vacuum cleaner. So it's plugged in, and it just spins like crazy. And he put these rubber knobs on the end of it. So what you do is you take the goose and you just rub it against the rubber knobs. And as the rubber knobs are just spinning at 100 miles an hour, it just picks the feathers off of the bird. So they were like, we're going to go watch the football game. Here, you and Tom, me and my brother, had the task of defeathering all these fucking geese. So the geese are super greasy. On their skin, right? That's what keeps the water off them and stuff. So you're trying to hold on to this goose. It's trying to slip out of your hand, and it gets harder and harder to hold on to the more feathers come off. And the feathers are greasy, and so you just get feathered while you're standing there. It's a machine that removes the feathers and puts them on me, basically. They're flying off, ending up on my face, all over my body, as I'm trying to... this was hours of doing this. Standing there, trying to rub all the fucking feathers off. And, of course, this contraption doesn't remove all the feathers, but... You know, you're going to be freezing the dead carcass, so you got to pull all of the rest of the feathers off, And that, you know, rips the skin, and so there's blood. And so you're getting bloody and greasy and feathered and shit. And it, like, this is hours of doing this. It took at least 20 or 30 minutes to do one fucking bird. It just went on and on and on. So finally we finished with the fucking birds, handed them over to Mike's wife, and Mike's wife, like, put them in a plastic case and boxed them up for us to fly home to Seattle with them so we could enjoy geese later. And just after that whole fucking experience, as much as I was looking forward to it before I left and how jazzed I was to be this awesome skeet shooter, you know, I was fucking ready to shoot birds. And by the time all this was done, I was just like, I never will ever go hunting again in my life. I'm fucking done with it. Not only do I not want to kill something I never intended to kill, possibly, you know, endangered fucking species. I don't want to shoot any more animals that mate for life. But then all the hassle of fucking dealing with prepping it afterwards so that you can consume. I mean, no. I've had it. I had my experience. That is enough for me. I'll leave the hunting to other people. I got that completely out of my system. That was enough for me. So that's my hunting story.
Awesome. So no elephants for you.
You know what? If Trump can keep those elephants in Africa.
So no pangs of guilt with the goose at all? Was not being able to kill it strictly a strategic thing?
I didn't want to kill it.
I just wanted to blast it out of the air.
You know what it is? The target practice is the fun part. So, you know, do I want to come up with some living thing and win its neck and kill it? Like, no. So, like, all of that, I hated all of that, especially, like, the feathering it and the blood and ripping the skin and just the whole thing was so gross. So to me, it was like, if I learned anything, it's like, I'll go back to the trap and the skeet. That's fun. You can shoot clay pigeons and see a little poof of smoke when you blow one up, and there is some satisfaction in that, and you don't have to de-feather anything, and you don't have to shoot anything endangered, or, you know. That is fun. The target part of it is fun. But
were you and your brother talking while you were defeathering these birds?
Yes, although I don't remember. I mean, it was so long ago now. Other than, I'm sure, complaining.
Like fighting, like yelling at each other. Let's do something we've never done before. We could do a Q&A. Is there any other questions?
I have a question.
Yeah.
How did the goose taste? Did you eat it?
I have had goose. And I honestly cannot tell you, like, how much better it tastes than duck or chicken. I'm pretty sure it's mostly dark meat.
Did you eat that goose?
Yeah, the goose.
The goose.
I honestly can't say, because by the time we had defeathered these things, it was just a pile of birds, a pile of defeathered, bloody birds.
You just didn't give a shit anymore. You're like, I'm not tracking this.
Everybody could probably claim they shot one. Mike probably killed five all by himself, if not more. My grandpa probably killed three or four of them. My dad probably killed two or three. My brother and I can probably say I shot one for sure, but, you know, who knows? Maybe I didn't even shoot that.
Sorta.
Maybe my brother shot it, and I had to ring its neck.
Thank you, Steve.
Sure.
Thank you.
Everybody.
Thank you.
Glad it's over.
Hi, Ian.
Hey, buddy. That was difficult.
Not the best hunting trip you ever heard.
No.
But made for a good story.
It did. The line... You know, swans mate for life.
Will always stick
with me. Because you don't necessarily know that. And then he's like, and there's swans circling. You're like, well, I figured they would. And then he explains why that's an important detail, because he's just killed the lovers of a couple of these swans who now are going to die alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No.
All right, guys. We'll see you for season two.
Hope you enjoyed.
Oh, before we go?
Yeah?
Glassworkscoffee.com.
Boom.
20% off your first order.
Hell yeah.
Free shipping with orders over $30. See you season two.
See you then.
Listening to The Story Hole. The Story Hole is produced by Joel Huggins and Ian Golding. Our music was supplied by Missouri all-time greats, the Incontinentals. Thank you, fellas. We'll be back next month, but if you like what you've heard, please subscribe to us, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, and please take a moment to write a nice review. Those reviews help us bump up in the ratings and help other people discover our little podcast here. For more, check us out on Instagram and at thestoryhole.com. Bye.